My name is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. It's 30th of July 2009 at 3:20 a.m. Please could you tell me your full name, your date of birth and where you're from?
My name is Janet Jones. I'm 70 and I'm from Wirral in Merseyside.
How are you feeling about going on the fourth plinth?
A mixture of very pleased it's arrived. I actually feel better now I'm here than I did when I woke up. And I think just being around with everybody is quite reassuring.
How did you first hear about the project?
I can't exactly remember, but the radio and newspaper or I think a friend even, you know, I think we both maybe heard about it at the same time.
And what is it that inspired you to apply?
Because I love particularly Angel of the North and the Iron Men at Crosby, who I own a little bit of, and the domain field and the clay figures, and so I just like that sort of work.
What is it about the Iron Men on Crosby Beach that you feel you own a little bit of?
Well, we can go lots, not far to go. They were only meant to be with us for a year. Actually, you go a lot more when you know the time's limited, but nevertheless, we do go a lot. And they just change. It's never the same when you go. The tide is over all of them sometimes, and then you walk one way to the other and they bob up again, and just their characters, which they're not all the same, so it's and they just look out to sea, and I like that fact too.
And what happened when you found out you had a place in this project?
I was vaguely shocked, I think. Excited. They asked us not to say anything to anybody until the Friday, which was that was quite hard. Don't know whether that worked very well, really. But and then they changed that, didn't they, to a little bit later. But I'd already told somebody by then because I hadn't been on. Anyway, it was. So I was very pleased, and I was in on my own, so there was nobody. I was with Tell Brian if he'd been there. I was in on my own, and so I felt I had to fill in my profile as quickly as I could, and then that's when I had, it wouldn't accept two of my answers, so anyway, that all got sorted.
And what does it mean to you to be a part of the project?
I feel quite important, really. I've enjoyed sharing it with people, I think I'm a sort of person that often thinks I'll do something and maybe I don't, and of course you never really think you're going to be pulled out, randomly selected. Possibly my great age made it, you know, that little bit of the random selection. There weren't as many to choose from, possibly, but I'm just very pleased to be here. I hope I am in an hour's time.
What will you be doing for the hour that you're on the plinth?
I'm going to build a cairn. Starting off just sort of chatting about mountains and finding your way and things like that. Not much, just sort of little casual chat, really. And the sort of get towards the reassuring bit of finding a cairn on a mountain, you know, having used all the proper things. If you come across them, there's just something good about them. And I like stones very much, so the fact that they're made with stones. And when we first heard about it, I said, oh, I'll build a cairn. I have no idea why I said it, but it just, people have tried to change my mind, but I've stuck with it, so I hope it's successful.
Can you describe to us what a cairn is exactly, please?
Yes, it's a pile of stones, really quite random, that people put in strategic places on mountains, hillsides, but they follow a path. They can be well spread out, or they're where there's a junction, and they're not on any maps or anything. They're just and they're on mountain tops as well. Then there's usually a cairn there. Arthur Wainwright, his little books, he marks them on his. He puts a white one if they're quite a white triangle if they're quite important, and a black one if it's a summit. So it's just, and you just, particularly on a misty day when you can't really see, you just, it's just a little bit of reassurance that yes, it must be, because I'm sure people must deface them time to time, but I don't think so. More people add, you know, you tend to add a stone as you go past if there's a stone handy. Yeah.
So do they have a functional purpose?
To help you. They mark the mountain paths, really. They're landmarks. They're not a sort of official landmarks, I suppose, is the what I'm trying to say. And they mark the summits. Most summits have probably bigger cairns on, because people are much more inclined, I suppose, to, if they've got to the top, to add to it.
Yeah. And why did you decide to do that on the plinth?
I don't know, really, except that for the very reason that they're reassuring. I suppose maybe stones and the shore, and maybe I just came into my mind because I like stones, and I thought we have a cairn in our garden that we've sort of did to over the years, so I just was inside me to say.
And what is it about stones that you like?
I like their quality, their patterns, their feel, just that they're in so many places, and they have a beauty that is, you know, they're just there. It didn't cost any money to look at them, to feel them, even to have some. Although, you know, people, you shouldn't really take too many from anywhere. And lots of places now, they quite rightly probably don't want you to take any off their beaches. And the stone makes walls and wonderful buildings, and just so much of the earth, really, isn't it? The bedrock, and yeah, so.
Do you do a lot of walking?
Yes, quite a lot. Yes, quite. Mostly Scotland, but we've just been in France, up the hills in France. But yeah, we go. We've got a caravan, progress from a tent, and so it's sort of like the freedom, a sort of feeling I think might be up there. You know, you're on your own, the space. Which is really why I think 4 o'clock is quite a nice time. I'm quite pleased I'm here at 4 o'clock, believe it or not. Because it's just more peaceful, I think.
What expectations do you have about going up on the plinth?
I hope I'll feel comfortable with them myself. I hope that I'll be able to relax and be what I mean it to be. But if it doesn't quite work out like that, I hope I won't get too worried about that either. It's just being up there and how it feels, I suppose. The looking, I shall enjoy looking out, and the light will be lightening up as I'm there. So that's about it.
Do you have any hopes or fears about what it will be like up there?
No, my fear is that I won't quite sort of get out the words that I want to get out properly, but that's just me. So I suppose you can only be yourself, can't you? You can't sort of suddenly become a very eloquent speaker or a lady full of wise words. You just, and I think that's a lovely thing about the project. There were not any conditions about anybody that applied. You could just apply. And I hope people don't forget that when they're critical, I think, I mean.
Who would you say that you're doing this for?
I'm probably doing it for me. Maybe that sounds very selfish. Then I think quite a lot of my friends are now enjoying thinking about it. And daughters, my granddaughter, they live in Wiltshire. They were here for a prom concert, and they came and stood by the plinth. So I had some interesting texts when she was describing that, how to get on, and it wasn't really scary, you know. So, so they're all interested and pleased, but I think initially I just thought, oh, yes, I'd like to do that.
What have friends and family's reactions been to you getting a place?
Mad woman. But then, you know, they've got sort of more used to it. I've seemed to get had lots of nobody else but Brian is here. My daughters are on holiday, which of course they was arranged before they ever knew. Friends are, they've got their alarm set, so they say. So that's probably one of my worst fears about being up there. They're all watching. I don't know, saying whatever they're saying, and I won't ever know that, will I?
Do you think your children will watch online when they get back?
Yes, my younger daughter's able to watch online today, yes. The others are in France. Yes, I'll make sure they do.
Have you been watching people online?
Yes, yes. It becomes a bit compulsive, really. So I have it on, and then wander in and out, and you catch different things, and then you time it maybe to be there for the changeover.
And what have you thought about what you've seen?
I've enjoyed some more than others, but I've tried not to be. If somebody just wants to sit, and that's absolutely fine, and that's what people say. Oh, we haven't, you know, that was they haven't, people haven't been thinking very hard, or just, no, not people, just people I know. So I try to convince them that that's just how it should be. And if you're a real performer, you can, you know, play an instrument or something, isn't it? You know, it's good, but it's so I think there was a man with from St Ives, abstract art, and he had a white boiler suit on, and he painted himself, but he'd made copies of, he painted an abstract of the sun rising in St Ives, and he had 10 of these on beautiful paper, I think, that he distributed through his time. So I fancied that was a nice thought. Can't remember his name, but he sometimes I can find it though, can't, because I can go back. I think some people are very, very brave in the sort of thing. I can't really think of an example now. Some people go to, oh, I saw a motorbike come on. That. And the tennis. No, it wasn't. Yes, it was golf. No, I've seen golf. And cricket. So, yeah, quite. it just be amazed. I suppose some things will be doubled up, but something new, I suppose, will appear every now and again.
Do you think that we're getting a snapshot of the UK?
I think you must be. Because I suppose, well, just the fact of what it was you were applying for, sort of, that's the only thing that sort of you had to decide, wasn't it? I always know the people that will have heard about it before I tell them what I'm going to do, you know. I can almost think, well, they won't know. So, lots of people don't know about the plinth at all, do they? Which I don't think I did till it was Alison Lapper that I found an article in the paper about it. So I was surprised that more people didn't know about the actual thing that went on before one and another, just all the other different ones. So.
Have you participated in arts projects before?
I do textile work, and so only as much as courses and exhibitions and things like that, and amateur dramatics are involved in, not on the stage, backstage. So you know, what's an art project, I suppose.
How did you get involved in those two things?
The textile, when I was a teacher for many years, and my husband was a seafarer, and so although we both had quite nice holidays, it didn't necessarily coincide. So I finished my permanent job, so as I could just go away on ships. But so I went and did a city in Gills, because if I went away I wouldn't be letting anybody in creative textiles, creative embroidery, and that was I suppose about 93 or 94 or something. So that was, I've always enjoyed doing things, say painting, not painting or anything, but and printing, and I think as I taught younger children, so you know, you do lots of creative work there. And so it took over my life anyway. And when it was fine, because I could go on a ship 6 weeks to West Africa, and I could have my sewing machine with me and all my paints and stuff, and just I didn't have anything else to do except. So that it all worked in very well. So that, and then when we finished our course, people made a group, you know, and then that's sort of progressed. And so they're all highly supporting me and very keen and very fond of Anthony Gormley. So
did you spend a lot of time on ships then?
Quite a lot, yes. Latterly. Yes, enjoyed it very much, and you were always ready to come home. And Natalie Bryant, he was going to West Africa, so it was a 6 week, which was just quite nice. He would do two round trips, and I would maybe just do one, or sometimes I just went around the coast, came back from Le Havre on the ferry and drove back home. And it was a roll on roll off vessel, so if I was just doing the coast, I could drive on in Middlesbrough and do the various ports and drive off in Le Havre. And so that worked well. And I did some quite long. I had a couple of leave of absences when I was working so that I could do some, you know, round the world trips. You only go on the edges of places though, of course, when you're on a ship.
And what kind of places did you manage to see or visit?
West Africa was latterly for about the last 10 years, because things in shipping changed, and you know, the old shipping lines disappeared. So West Africa, and I did lots of research into their textiles as well. You know, there's sad bit, but there's some lovely bits. In fact, I've got a stone from West Africa to put on one of the last things onto my plinth. And it's, you know, it's the colour of the earth of West Africa. It's very lovely. Picked it up when I was there. Don't very often go inland, too far inland, but we had this very interesting journey. And the gold fields, which had been worked once, they were just sort of reorganizing the earth and finding more. And there was, and they were, so I couldn't but resist pick up one of the, it's only a little one, but I'll sell it. It's very precious.
Have you traveled with lots of stones from different places?
I have, yes. And people have been started to give me them to put on the plinth today as well.
And what will you do with them all when you come back down?
Well, I was going to take them back home again. I'll take my little, my special ones anyway. Yeah, they'll go back home. But the ones that are, you know, the main that are in the big heavy rack, I was going to, we were going to take them home again. But it is heavy, and we've got to put it in left luggage for tomorrow. So Brian came up with this. We're actually going to find a place at the side of the Thames and put them back into the Thames. So I think that's quite a nice thought, actually.
And to help us get an idea of the people who are going up on the plinth, we're asking everyone to tell us some of the things that are important to them in their lives at the moment. So would you mind telling us what is important to you in your life at the moment?
My family. Two grandchildren, they're quite grown up now. My friends, and I like to have something to be a project. I don't like that word, but I like to be busy, to have something creative going on. Got a work room, which has all sorts of things around it. It looks busier than it often is, but and I enjoy walking, going. I enjoy. And I think I'm very lucky still to be able to. My legs still go up hills quite well, which is there's a lot you can do about that. So I think I'm very fortunate about that. I think.
Great, okay. And is there anything else that you'd like to tell us or add that we might not have asked you before we finish?
No, we've done the shippy bit. I think we've got a bit of an affinity with old Nelson up there. I'm just quite an ordinary sort of person, really.
Okay, thank you.